Hello, all you suckers out there. This is another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio, and we're still doing our WrestleMania coverage on the lead-up to WrestleMania 25. Why did I call you suckers? Because three of us from yesterday, Eric, Dusty, and Jordan, are here to talk about the five worst WrestleManias of all time, as voted on by you, the fans. So, oh my God, I already said who was on the show. Dusty, how are you on this lovely eve?
Oh, I am lovely on this lovely eve. I'm ready to spit hostility and negativity
good
out to you people today, you beautiful people.
Do I still have your song up here? Hang on a minute. I do. Can I tell people the lyrics to your song?
Please.
Dusty wrote a song about the dangers of the music industry, and the lyrics are, I play all the greatest hits. I am a bad man indeed. You'll hear me on the radio. My heart is filled with greed. Bad man radio, bad man radio, bad man radio. Then he says, it goes on for like 20 or 30 minutes, but you get the idea. It was probably the best fucking song I've ever heard. Jordan, besides that,
is it even better than the one I posted on the message board today?
Did it have something to do with illegal, dangerous drugs and sexy sex? Where is it? And in the meantime, while I look it up, while you tell me where it is, then I'll look it up, then Jordan, you tell me what your favorite song is.
You got to go to in-house discussions, and you got to go to forum legend thread.
Okay.
And it's like the last page, I think.
Okay, I'm on it. Jordan, besides Dusty's song about dangers of the music industry.
I don't know. I don't have anything. I got my Randy panties on and ready to rant and rave about Vince Russo and some other dudes that I hate.
Yeah,
and
we just got done praising him a little bit, not 24 hours ago, and now it's time to rip the fucking shreds out of him.
Oh, yeah.
24 hours ago, we want to be sedated by WrestleMania. WrestleMania is booked by Vince Russo. Okay, let's see. This was just at the cusp of the Russo era. We're going to do this like we did last night, where we are going to talk about a couple of honorable mentions. Again, these are based on your votes at stuntgranny.com, so thank you for those. And we got five definitive worst WrestleManias, but we got a couple honorable mentions here to throw in that we can talk about in fairly short order. One of them that got a couple of votes is WrestleMania 12. Now, this people seem to remember this one fondly only for the Shawn Michaels Bret Hart Iron Man match.
But if that match weren't on there, the card would have sucked.
Yet strangely, that match was on there and the card sucked because that match sucked. It was fucking
sucked. Oh my God. I was the most disappointed I've ever been for a match watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why that match sucked?
Why?
In my opinion, it's because Bret called it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah.
He tried to assert his authority as the veteran. Oh, by what, a couple of years or something like that?
Yeah, come on. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And wanted an old school, like, what was the point of the Iron Man if you're only going to have one fall? Why not just have a match and then just have it go an hour?
It would be. It would have been much better if Michaels was down by, like, two falls going into the last minutes or something.
Oh, yeah.
For yep.
Sure. But, no, instead we get an hour's worth of arm bars and, yeah. Everyone, you know, they'll show clips from the match, and it'll be Shawn Michaels cross-body block from the top to the floor. Okay, if that and his final super kick are the only good parts of the match worth talking about, then why the fuck is it such a great match?
It's like an hour-long Randy Orton match.
Jesus.
Headlocks, chinlocks.
Yeah, a young Randy Orton watched this match like,
ooh.
Hey. He filled up his notebook every fucking page with a minute of that match.
And then crapped on it.
Yeah. young Randall defecating on things early in life. Yeah, well, okay, here's the rest of this card, which, by the way, was held in Anaheim, California, everybody's favorite arena.
Noticing a pattern.
Trash Anaheim is. Jesus.
Yep, it sure is.
Yep.
And this was, okay, Mick Foley makes a big point of saying that he wasn't booked at this WrestleMania, but he took his kids to Disneyland or whatever. Like, well, go fuck yourself.
I was going to say, who gives a shit?
Yeah, nobody.
Really?
Oh, God. What a clown. Quickly, other matches on this show. The The first match on the free-for-all was the finals of the tag team title tournament. The Body Donnas beat Henry and Phineas Godwin. You know, it was all right. Here we go. The Nacho Man and the Huckster wrestled each other. This was the Billionaire Ted skit that actually kind of helped bolster the NWO.
Right.
Accidentally.
Make WWF look out of touch in every possible way.
And one of my favorite things about those skits was the Billionaire Ted War Room.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As they're going around the table, Vince Russo is one of the people in the War Room. And he's like, "But Ted, our wrestlers are old and fragile. They can't do moves." Or whatever. Okay.
All right.
And I don't know, anything else funny worth talking about? The Nacho Man, the Huckster, Billionaire Ted?
Didn't they all die of, like, oxygen deprivation or some stupid thing?
Yeah.
Some stupid,
Nacho Man and Huckster did. I think somebody got their size 7 high heel involved. And then the Federal Trade Commission came in and scared Ted Turner to death.
Right.
And the entire time, the silhouettes of Vince McMahon and Jerry Lawler are down in the bottom of the screen, like Mystery Science Theater. Oh,
wow.
Poorly conceived shit. Yeah, this is some Price is Right loser music right here.
Uh-huh.
The actual card itself had the 6-man tag, Vader, Owen Hart, and Davey Boy Smith against Coke Machine, Yokozuna, and Ahmed Johnson. My God.
Ahmed is the best worker
on
the team.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
When the Pearl River quad tear. Best guy. 50, liver piercer.
50% of the people in this match are dead. Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, and Yokozuna are all dead.
And somehow Jake is still alive.
Yep, for sure.
He's
my God.
Coke mummy now.
Ahmed Johnson looked like he swallowed Vader, but... Speaking of guys swallowing other guys, the next thing was Roddy Piper and Goldust in the Hollywood Backlot Brawl.
Supposed to be Razor.
It was supposed to be Razor Ramon. Razor was suspended for marijuana use. Of course,
wink.
He had just given his notice, so they weren't going to put him on the show and give him his payday.
Right. I would have jobbed him out.
Oh, I would have, too. I would have had Goldust, like, dry hump him and just totally, like, embarrass him. And then just pin him clean and kiss him like the kiss of death and then move on.
Yep. There you go. Steve Austin in his star-making match against Savio Vega. 10 minutes, it ended with a reverse chin lock after he hit him with the belt, with the $1 million belt.
But the feud, the feud must continue.
Whatever. Savio Vega. Fucking Savio Vega gets a WrestleMania payday. That's inexcusable.
Puerto Rican ninja's got to get paid.
Yeah, I guess. The Ultimate Warrior beats Hunter Hearst Helmsley in 1:30.
Punishment.
Fucking, no, not even. It hadn't happened yet. This
what the
fuck? No, the curtain call
that
hadn't happened
yet.
Triple H was just going to, he was just going to do the favor job for the Warrior in 1:30, and they're going to push him to the moon. Then the thing happened.
Okay, it was right after that. That's right.
Yep.
Never mind. What the
Ultimate
hell I'm
Warrior,
talking about?
What is this, his third failed attempt at, a second failed comeback?
Yeah. So.
At which point, let's see, this is March 31st. He'd be gone, what, before the July pay-per-view?
Yep, in between King of the Ring and
right. The
International Incident or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah, they had to get Sid to replace him, which was an upgrade in my opinion.
Yep, it certainly was.
They should have gone with Sid in the first fucking place.
Yeah. Undertaker Diesel, long match, not great, not horrible.
Better than it could have been.
Yeah. That's the tagline on that match, I think, from here on out. Well, it was, I mean, from that night until the fucking day we all die. It was better than it should have been.
Right.
Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, yawn.
Yawn.
Okay. And Anaheim, fucking bigger yawn.
Mm-hmm.
let's see. Yeah, we're just trying to breeze through these, I believe. Another honorable mention is WrestleMania 5. The Mega Powers explode. This was 1989, and this was the second WrestleMania in a row held at Trump Plaza in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Probably the worst venue for any WrestleMania, and and I'll talk about that here in about an hour.
That's the theme, though, for the bad ones, is the locale. Gist of it. I don't know.
Yeah. You notice, none of them are Madison Square Garden shows we're talking about or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Or Chicago.
Well, part of Chicago.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not Chicago's fault, though. We'll get there.
No, that one wasn't. We'll get there.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm looking at ProWrestlingHistory.net, or .com. Sorry, ProWrestlingHistory.com for all your pro wrestling history. Yeah, go to ProWrestlingHistory.com. I didn't realize that they counted Piper's Pit in here in their numbered segments because they have 15 things listed. Dusty, you mentioned this last night that, what'd you say, 7 was one of the worst ones in your opinion?
Well, it was 7 and 5 were the ones just marching out people.
One after another.
The Red Rooster had a match.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Rooster.
We can get through these pretty quickly. Hercules beats Haku. Terrible.
Yep.
Terrible.
Akeem and the Big Boss Man, the Twin Towers, beat the Rockers. Pretty good.
Actually good. I think
all the Rockers
were good workers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In their own way.
And the Rockers created all the movement and just made them, look like they were doing stuff too. So it ended up pretty good for what it was.
Yeah, I think at one point Shawn Michaels caught Akeem sleeping on the apron.
Sleeping?
Yoink. Okay, Brutus Beefcake, double count out against Ted DiBiase. That was awful. Ted DiBiase did not have his working boots on that night. That match was terrible.
A year after he's supposed to get the belt, he has to face Beefcake and goes to a double count out. I don't blame him.
I mean, what's the rationalization for a double count-out between these two?
There is none,
yeah.
The only thing I can think was that they were planning ahead for to continue the Hogan-Savage feud, and they would have to do tag matches, and somebody would have to team up with Hogan, but... and Beefcake's his friend.
Right.
Seriously, are we really trying to protect both of these guys to the point where they both get countered? This isn't fucking David Sammartino and Brutus Beefcake WrestleMania 1. These guys are like, high mid-carders at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? Can't change history now. The Bushwhackers beat Jacques and Raymond Rougeau.
Awful, and it wasn't the Rougeau's fault.
No, certainly not. Mr. Perfect pins the Blue Blazer. Those two men get 6 minutes, less than 6 minutes.
It's going to be the sleeper matchup of the night.
Yeah.
And it was a little, No, go ahead.
If they'd gone 10 more minutes, it'd probably be the sleeper match of the night.
Right. Yeah, it was 6 minutes. Owen didn't get a whole lot of offense in, and Perfect hadn't really found anything yet, and they didn't, of course, because there's 15 segments, and they don't have enough time to tell any kind of story. So, like Raw now, just quickly get a match out of the way so we can get on to something else.
Right.
If they had shaved off like 4 or 5 matches and opened the pay per view with this one, I think they might have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll skip ahead one match. Dino Bravo pins Ronnie Garvin in 3 minutes and 6 seconds.
Fuck Ronnie Garvin.
Fuck Dino Bravo.
Well, him too, but I have an irrational hate of Ronnie Garvin, but continue.
So going backwards then one match, the tag team championship match, Demolition beats the Powers of Pain and Mr. Fuji in a handicap match.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, what did they, Demolition, Fuji turned on Demolition November of 88, that's right, Survivor Series.
Yep.
Or were they just thinking that, that the people didn't believe the Powers of Pain could be the champion, so they had to have Mr. Fuji in there too?
They weren't getting over.
Yeah. At all.
Okay.
That was a horrible failed double turn. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, because the crowd totally didn't buy into it. They were cheering the Powers of Pain as those guys held Mr. Fuji on their shoulders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Demolition wasn't all that likable, even if Fuji turned on him. It's like an asshole turns on more assholes. Who cares?
That sounds like a video I saw the other day. Anyway,
like at the Survivor Series, when Bad News punched the boss man or whatever.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That wasn't a face turn for Bad News. It was
no.
just something that happened, you know?
Right.
And
yep.
and that was a more justifiable face turn than Fuji.
Yeah.
God almighty.
Like, why should I like Demolition just because they don't have Fuji now, you know?
Right.
Right.
But the thing is, everybody loved Demolition. That's how it turned out anyway. And they're getting cheered,
right.
actually. They got cheered at WrestleMania 4 when they beat the Strike Force. Which we'll talk about here in a bit, I guess. So, anyway, strange things happening. Culminated
yeah.
in this terrible-ass match. let's see. Dino Bravo, Ronnie Garvin. Okay, the Brainbusters, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, beat Tito Santana and Rick Martel. This is the one where Tito is going for his flying forearm, his flying jalapeno. And then he hit Rick Martel. Martel on the outside. Martel is all cheesed off and then walked off.
yeah.
That was a good angle, I guess.
Yep.
It started a feud that lasted 57 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, seriously. And I don't think we've got – I think fucking Rick Martel pinned Tito Santana in every single opportunity he had.
I think so.
Like, how are you not going to give the baby face? What's that? I thought you said Aldo.
No, almost.
Oh, almost. Okay.
Almost. Telling me.
Yeah. As if the show hadn't already dragged on enough by this point, fucking Piper's Pit with Morton Downey Jr. and Brother Love, quite possibly like 10 of the most agonizing, horrible moments in professional wrestling history.
Yeah, that's what you say, but a lot of people remember it fondly. What do you say to that?
Fucking, they're idiots. They should zip it, not flip it, not whip it, but zip it. That's what they should do. I mean, seriously, just awful. Some of the insults were kind of funny, but Jesus, this is still fucking Quaalude, Roddy Piper, and Morton Downey, who's totally not in his element.
No.
Right.
But you know somewhere, you know, either off mic or whatever, Vince McMahon's got his guffaw laughter on, because that just reeked of Vince humor. Yeah.
He's gonna puke. Okay.
Brother Rodney!
No, yeah. Oh, my God.
Brother Piper!
Yeah, the fucking red underwear. Yeah. Yeah. This whole thing just smacked of Vince McMahon. Man.
Yep.
Okay. My God in heaven, we have 6 more matches to talk about. Jake the Snake Roberts beat Andre the Giant via disqualification. Big John Studd was brought back as the special guest referee. Oof.
Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Heart Foundation beats Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine. This predates Rhythm and Blues.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Boxcar Willie.
Yeah.
I call him Double Trouble, baby.
Nice. Yeah, that was a pretty good match, I guess.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's some history in the making. History is made tonight. Rick Rude pins the Ultimate Warrior to win the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm. His first loss.
Yeah. And as we talked about yesterday with Owen beating Brett at WrestleMania 10 and then Brett winning the belt, so then Owen becomes the de facto number one contender. A year later, they would do the thing where because Rick Rude was the only man to pin the Ultimate Warrior or whatever they did, then he was the de facto or default number one contender for the Warriors world title.
Love it. Love it.
Yep. It just kind of makes sense. Of course, Warrior also tried to suplex. No, Rude. How did this go? Oh, yeah, Warrior tried to suplex Rude into the ring at the end of this match.
Right.
Bobby Heenan grabs the leg, and fucking Heenan, or a Warrior, just drops Rude on his head. Fucking almost crippling the man.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then manages to pick up Bobby Heenan and then drop him on his shoulder.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking Warrior. Here's another Clash of the Titans. Jim Duggan versus Bad News Brown, yet another double countout at WrestleMania 5.
Yep. Next match.
Next, okay. Yeah. Oh, here's your Red Rooster versus Bobby Heenan match in the semi-main event.
This would have been a horrible second match on a Superstars or a Saturday night's main event.
Yeah.
I had no business being on that show. Terry Taylor wasn't. Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, Dusty, why don't you give us your opinions on Terry Taylor?
The tailor-made man.
Yeah, he's tailor-made, all right. He's tailor-made to work in a fucking soup kitchen.
I'm almost positive that wouldn't even be believable.
Oh, my
no.
God.
No, the homeless people would mock him.
Yeah.
Hey, weren't you the Red Rooster? You're a fucking chump. You're a goddamn no penis chump. I might be homeless, but at least I have my pride.
Then he'll look up on his 1991 computer insults and.
Yeah, Alexandria York is looking up.
Yeah, exactly. The perfect blueprint for serving soup.
Yeah, no kidding. Can you get your TRS-80 color computer out and look at this recipe? Fucking gazpacho. Holy Christ. Okay, and then your main event, the Mega Powers Explode. Hulk Hogan beats Randy Savage to win the WWF title for the second time. 18 minutes, Savage carried him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the angle carried it, but Savage did.
Right. Oh, yeah, the angle was great.
Yeah, because right. Where were we all? We were between the ages of 7 and 9, so, of course, it's easy to get excited about stuff like this.
Right.
Here's a good one that says at the bottom of this card. It's funny, too. It's funny they didn't include this on the Coliseum home video version back in the day, but it's on the DVD in the set. Rockin' Robin sang the fucking Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful or whatever it was.
Right.
Oh, my God. And this cunt changed key like 7 times throughout this song. Oh, holy God. If I could find a way to rip that audio off of that DVD, I might make that a special podcast sometime. Rockin' Robin sing. What's that?
Just like the Lillian thing, huh?
Yeah, really make a special little 5-minute show. Make an audio montage of a muscular montage. Anyway, that's 5. I don't know. That's one of those, again, I think people some people remember it fondly for various reasons. Probably because, again, they're all 8 and 9 years old. But
right. Yeah. It's middle bottom for me. It's not one of the worst.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really stand out that much. So.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Here's one that we had talked about off-air, you know, in the last couple of weeks, actually. WrestleMania 15 from Philadelphia, 1999. This was pretty bad. I'm, in a way, looking at the other one, I'm not surprised that it didn't finish higher than it did, but, I mean, it's certainly one of the worst ones ever.
Oh.
It's in my bottom 3.
Yeah, mine too. It's actually, yeah. Yeah, it's just, ugh. It's Russo at its Russo and McMahon, the whole Attitude Era at its absolute worst.
Yeah.
Nonsensical European title. Like, wasn't it Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were going after the Intercontinental and European title, and then they win the other belt, and it just was so stupid and confusing leading all the way up to it. And,
well, it was actually the Hardcore belt because she
was right, that's right.
Oh,
that's
for
right.
The European title.
Oh, God, and yeah. Okay. There's
probably one of the 3 best matches on the show, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's run down the matches quickly. So it all starts off with Jacqueline versus Ivory for 1.5 minutes.
Yep.
D'Lo Brown and Test win a battle royal. Oh, my God. To see who's going to challenge, that's the word I'm looking for, challenge for the tag team belts later in the night. And, of course, this is Russo at his worst. You know, everyone makes fun of him for booking tag teams to feud with each other, and it's gotten worse over the years where they feud with each other right off the bat. Fucking D'Lo Brown and Test win this battle royal, and as soon as the fucking final bell rings, they're at each other's throats.
Yep.
Other luminaries in this match were Steve Blackman, Justin Pock Bradshaw, Brian Christopher, the entire Disciples of Apocalypse, Draws, Farouk, Gilbert, the Godfather, the Hardy Boys, the Legion of Doom were here, Midian, the fucking Public Enemy, Scott Taylor, and Viscera. These are the people that Vince Russo had in a battle royal to challenge for one of the major titles of the company. All I'm saying is it's pretty fucking embarrassing.
I'm trying to bottle up my rage, so we'll continue.
Okay, well, let's keep going. You can find plenty of reasons.
Well, the Attitude Era is good, yeah. It's a whole different audio show, so I'm trying to stay calm and rant about that later.
Here's my impersonation of 1999.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Well, okay, Dusty, I tried to bait you with the Terry Taylor thing, but here's the first match that actually appeared on the pay-per-view. Bob Sparkplug Holly beats Al Snow and Billy Gunn in a triangle match for the hardcore title.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Time to have your field day, my friend.
I don't have anything to say.
And I don't mean playing fucking tug-of-war and hopscotch and shit. And not that kind of field day like elementary school.
This is fucking justifiable terrorist attack.
That's all.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I don't know. I don't care. It was one of the fucking hardcore title. It was three shitty wrestlers. Fuck that match. Next.
Okay. Here's your tag team title match immediately out of the gate. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett beat D'Lo Brown and Test in less than 4 minutes. Whatever. Obviously, Russo don't care about the people, and the fucking belts are just props. Here is one of the matches that I consider one of the three best matches on the show. Butterbean knocked Bart Gunn the fuck out in a Brawl for All rules match.
Oh, man.
I mean, that shit's classic.
Oh, yeah. You just see his jaw going in two different directions. It's beautiful.
Yep.
And his eyes should have just said no sale, like in the birds and everything. I mean, he was knocked the fuck out.
The fucking cash register. Cha-ching.
Yeah, cha-ching.
Yeah, my God.
It needed Benny Hill music behind it, like Yakety Sax.
Yeah, like a hamster trying to crawl out of the water. Yeah. But watching his head just spin around, it was great.
Dusty and I talked about how horrible that whole tournament was just not too long ago. It just
we had a huge conversation about this, and
yeah,
I think the we came up with the Brawl for All could have ended in one of three ways. Mm-hmm. Could have ended with Dan Severn taking people down and sunning them to death, you know.
Yeah.
Or it could have ended with Steve Williams winning. Or it could have ended with Bart Gunn left-handing people to death.
Yep.
And so what happened was the least attractive of the three options is what prevailed.
Yep.
And then in the meantime, like, oh, well, fuck, the guy who we wanted to win didn't win. And now we're stuck with Bart Gunn. So they could have made lemonade out of it and pushed him, but instead they put him against Butterbean.
Yeah.
This is what they get.
Yep.
And that tournament, that tournament ended so many careers, including Bart Gunn's, ironically.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a match to determine who would be the referee for the main event. Mankind beat. He's listed as Paul White on here because he was Paul White.
Yeah, he was. No gimmicks needed, Paul White.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know, whatever. Paul, a Big Show, choke slams Mankind through two chairs, and Mankind goes to the hospital. But like we talked about yesterday at WrestleMania 14 in the dumpster match, Mankind would go to the hospital, and then a fucking hour and a half later, he'd show up like a dick. Let's see, I think I need to plug my phone in. Hang on a second. Actually, we can move on to, here we go. Here's a fucking match for the ages. Intercontinental title, four corners match, the Road Dogg versus Goldust versus Ken Shamrock versus Val fucking Venus. Anyone?
So say what you will, but Road Dogg was getting over like gangbusters at the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
He was the second most over guy in what was left of, well, DX had kind of broke it up. It was so confusing at that part.
Yeah.
Breaking up, getting back together, you know, nobody cared.
They didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Because it was Russo. I mean, one week they're fighting, the next week they're teaming. I mean, it's just bullshit. Yeah. And then they all decided to get singles, or they all needed singles pushes, which, yeah, people really wanted Mr. Ass to win. So
yeah.
Well, and here's the rest of the shit surrounding this. If I remember correctly, Goldust was accompanied to the ring by the Blue Meanie and possibly even Ryan Shamrock. It was definitely a woman.
No, possibly about it. That's who it was.
It was Ryan Shamrock, yeah.
Okay, which is funny because I think Val Venus was trying to get into Ryan Shamrock's pants, which pissed off Ken Shamrock. And fucking Road Dogg was taking the higher moral ground in this whole thing. Whatever. That match happened. Fucking, it was terrible. Kane beats Triple H by disqualification.
Yep.
Fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
That's terrible. Okay, women's champion Sable pins Tori, her stalker. Again, well, you know, what the fuck?
Yep.
Tori was hot.
Tori was hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was, actually. She was Carrie Power in the Ladies Pro Wrestling Association. She hosts both of the VHS tapes that I have of Ladies Pro Wrestling Association. I'll have to break those out sometime. Ivory also wrestles on them under her, whatever her original name was, Moretti or something like that. Tina Moretti.
Yum.
Anyway.
Yummy.
Okay. Here's our European title match. Shane McMahon beats X-Pac. One thing I remember about this is when WWF Sunday Night Heat started. And one of the gimmicks they would do on there was that, what did they call it, like Backtrack or Rewind or something like that. They'd go watch an old match, but they'd talk to the people in the match candidly.
Mm-hmm.
They're shooting from the hip, brother. And they talked to Shane and X-Pac about this match.
Except the Undertaker stayed in character. I remember them.
Yeah, of course. I don't know. It was an okay match. It was novel because it was Shane McMahon's first match.
Yeah.
And last match for a while.
Yeah, true. X-Pac did his thing. The Mean Street Posse was out there. Fucking everybody on God's Green Earth interfered in this match. Yeah, I guess.
Yep. Typical garbage.
Later on, X-Pac would make a porno with China.
And Rodney would make a porno with Pete Gass.
Yeah, no kidding. Fucking Joey Abs on camera. Worst Hell in a Cell match ever, I think.
Ugh.
The Undertaker beats the Big Boss Man and then proceeds to hang him.
My favorite part of that whole thing is he's dangling, they just cut to the back. They don't say he's dead, and then they come back, the cell's gone, there's no evidence of him. So I was watching it live going, did he just die? And then they didn't really care. It wasn't irrelevant.
Yep.
This is symbolic of how Undertaker feels.
Oh, my God. Michael Cole was the worst. He still is, but he certainly was then. He had to sit in because Ross had a second spell bout of Bell's palsy. And
probably did it on purpose to avoid this card.
Yeah,
no shit. He did come back out, though, to call the main event Steve Austin versus The Rock for the WWF title. Good match. It have better matches in the future, but this was like the height. I mean, this was maybe not the height, but this was like, you know, they've been working on this match for a good solid year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the culmination of
the
year. The
only thing they did right on the card was book this match.
Right. The only thing that detracted for me is by that point, the world title since, was it Survivor Series, had changed. It went Rock, Foley, Rock, Foley, Rock.
Uh-huh.
By that point already. So, by the time Austin got the belt back, it was his third reign. It was, you know, that was the end of the third reign for The Rock already.
Yeah, true.
But
did that fat piece of garbage Foley deserve 5 title reigns?
Fuck no.
No.
He doesn't deserve the free Chef Boyardee he got for doing their commercials.
Mmm, beefy.
He would have bought it anyway.
Right.
Shit, Chef Boyardee just lost out on like $40 in ravioli sales. a very Russo-esque pay-per-view. You got triple threat match, a four-way match, tag team wrestling for the belts that the members don't fucking like each other.
Interference from non-wrestlers and wrestlers.
Cage match, a horrible Hell in a Cell match. Mankind who disappears into thin air and then, it's impossible for him to disappear into thin air.
I was going to say fat air, I think is the word you were looking for.
Yeah, he disappeared into a thick fog and then showed up again. Yeah, this was some serious Russo-esque bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a difference a year makes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's funny, 14 was one of the best, according to everyone's votes. 15 yep. was near one of the worst, but we'll get to one of the worst here in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now let's really dive into these. Here are the five worst WrestleManias of all time, as voted on by you folks. WrestleMania 2, What the World is Coming To. And if this is What the World is Coming To, I feel bad for the world.
It was 86. Everybody was coked up anyway, so.
Yeah. Dressing like Don Johnson and throwing lines off the urinal. Okay, let's take this in chunks, though. The first four matches took place in New York at Nassau Coliseum. Your color commentator was Susan St. James along with Mr. McMahon.
Get him, George!
Come on, George! Oh, my God. That's the best part. Okay, well, Don Morocco double count out against Paul Orndorff. Paul Orndorff did the slanty eyes thing toward Mr. Fuji at the beginning of the match. Randy Savage beats George the Animal Steel for the Intercontinental Belt. That angle had been going on for a while. Jake the Snake Roberts beats George Wells. Fucking random-ass jobber George Wells in his long blue tights. And then Mr. T beats Roddy Piper in a boxing match. Four rounds. This shit was painful.
Oh, man. Awful.
What's the fucking saving grace besides Roddy Piper throwing a stool at Mr. T?
That's exactly what I was going to say. The only thing I remember is the stool hitting him.
Yep.
I remember the stool, and I remember he cut a cool promo afterwards about how great he is. And that's it.
Yep.
He cut a great promo beforehand, I think.
He sure did.
That was the
yep.
I would quit Tiddlywinks. I'll quit Dave.
I wouldn't quit you, though.
That's right. And then that was the one where he's like, I dyed myself lighter, whatever, so you could tell the difference between me and T.
I grew my hair long.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And then he says something like, I don't dye myself black and cut my hair like an Indian. Toodaloo.
Yep.
God damn it, this is so awesome. Yeah. By far, probably the best part of this whole fucking pay-per-view. Honestly, that fucking promo right there. Otherwise, my God, Morocco and Orndorff in 4 minutes.
Oh, God. Morocco was about 99.2 million% water weight at that point.
Yeah. And Orndorff was trying to play the baby face.
Oh,
Orndorff
God.
Baby
least likable baby face since Triple H. Other way around. But anyway.
Let's see. Savage and George Steele, you know, they're doing the whole animal loves the Beauty and the Beast thing. There you go. Whatever. I mean, that match was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. That match was really bad.
Really bad.
Yep. I don't know, Jake did the snake thing. The kids loved it. That's the weird thing about Jake at this time was that everyone loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept trying to push him as the heel, but...
Nope,
he's so different than everything else that was on there. They're being force-fed.
Yeah.
He's not screaming. He's not, a giant of a man.
Right.
With anything. And he's just got the snake, and he just kind of whisper-talked, and... Well, he really stands out then.
It's whisper quiet. then one of the celebrities was
somebody better for him to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, George fucking Wells.
George Wells.
Most of the people were tied up in the battle royal at the next town, but I was also going to mention Herb from Burger King.
Oh God,
the timekeeper. The fucking this guy mincing around the ring. But then what's weird is they have Burger King's Herb in New York.
Right.
So then we go to Rosemont Horizon, and they have Wendy's Claire Peller.
Claire Peller, yep.
Screaming about, where's the beef? Oh, wait, she forgot to hold the microphone to her mouth, so you couldn't hear her say it.
Surprised she didn't hold it upside down and just start screaming.
It's like, yeah, like an old woman using the telephone.
Yeah.
Hello!
Like, here we go.
Whoa, why aren't you talking?
My great-grandmother went to Europe and like when she was like 86 years old and came back and had 15 rolls of film all of her chest. She had the camera backward the entire time. So
no fucking way.
Yes, we still have the pictures.
Oh my God.
So that's what I always think of with Claire Peller in the microphone. She loved those pictures, though. She thought they were hilarious, but...
My chest was in Sicily. My chest saw Big Ben.
15, she just said 15 rolls of the Alps. That's all she said.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
Okay, that's fucking fantastic. Here's something that's not fantastic. So they're at the Rosemont Horizons for these next few matches in Chicago. They drew 9,000. That fucking place holds 19,000 people.
Mm-hmm. It was awfully dark in there.
Yeah, no shit. They kept the house lights low then.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the matches,
too. I hate to interrupt you, but I just read about Burger King Herb.
But yeah, I'm not Herb campaign.
Yeah, I read that. They had him appear at random Burger Kings, and then... Like if you spotted Herb, you would get like a free burger or something.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Where's Herb? Okay.
Yeah, and yep. It was Burger King's absolutely failed attempt to capture the Where's the Beef crowd.
Yep.
So.
Wow, that's crazy. Well,
he's probably the most irrelevant, quote unquote, celebrity ever at a WrestleMania.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, four matches at the Rosemont Horizon. Fabulous Moolah beats Velvet McIntyre in a minute 25, even though Velvet's foot was over the rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they were just trying to send a message to Wendy Richter. Like, we can screw anybody out of a match.
Yeah. Fire your late gunning for you.
Yeah. Corporal Kirshner, the late celebrated Corporal Kirshner, who's not dead, beat Nikolai Volkoff in a flag match in 2 minutes.
Next match, please.
The British Bulldogs, seconded by Ozzy Osbourne, beat the dream team of Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake to win the tag belt.
The only question on the British Bulldog and Ozzy is who was the highest?
I'm not really sure. Probably, honestly, Matilda.
Matilda was bad in 86.
Forced it.
They put her into rehab and started that Get Well Soon campaign for her. And, of course, as
then
we
Dynamite know, shot her in the head.
Yeah. As we all know, this is the only good match on the show. So we can skip over that probably, too.
Yep.
Let's see. Then we have our big Battle Royal. Andre the Giant wins the Battle Royal that featured wrestlers, WWF wrestlers and NFL football players, including, of course, WWE Hall of Famer William the Refrigerator Perry, who had this weird outfit on where I think you could see his thong underwear for most of the match.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that was about. But then you also had luminaries such as Ted Arcidi.
Yeah.
Who had an LJN big rubber action figure made
out
of him, by the way.
Wow.
Is that the other thing you remember about him?
That's all I remember is he was a big, immobile, one of the world's strongest men things.
Yep.
You know, one of the 500 times they've tried that, and then there was a toy made after him that was more movable. Those LJN figures were more flexible than Ted Arcidi was.
Yeah. True. Fucking Stretch Armstrong himself. Bruno Sammartino is in this battle royal at age, 100, which is funny because the more you think about this, when he came out against WWE and their whole steroids and sex and all that shit in 91, he was still fucking collecting paychecks almost up to that date.
Oh,
yep.
Shit.
I know.
He's a chump. Anyway, he is a fucking chump.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy Lee Crosby was one of the guest commentators. Gene Okerlund, Gorilla Monsoon, and Kathy Lee Crosby. It's just funny.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. Really, I don't know. What else? What can you say about this?
You know, who stood out was Bill Frelick.
Oh, yeah, the Atlanta Falcon nose tackle.
Well, he was a big wrestling fan, you could tell.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was the only one that was, like, super into it and cut a good
promo. Yeah.
Stud the dud.
Stud the dud, yeah. Make that guy into the little shoving match. Gentlemen, please. Good point. Very good point. Then, okay, moving along to Los Angeles, California, at the Sports Arena, which actually drew a sold-out crowd.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Here's your fucking ring announce crew for this one, or your color commentary crew. Jesse the Body Ventura, Lord Alfred Hayes, and Elvira are calling your main event of the evening. Holy Christ. Are you telling me they couldn't have shuffled that around a little bit? I mean,
man,
my God.
They should have put Vince and Jesse together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been good. Or even switch Lord Alfred and Gorilla. You know, get Gorilla, Jesse, and Elvira. Cool. And then you could have had Gene Okerlund and Alfred, who did TNT together for the longest time.
Yep.
Yeah, that would have been something.
When TNT was sinking and Vince knew that it was, so he jumped off the ship. Yep.
Okay, good point. Your matches for this card, this part of the card, Ricky Steamboat beats Hercules. During the match,
I like Elvira. Elvira made fun of Steamboat.
Yes. Yep. Fucking unbelievable. We both fucking started in on that thought.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Adrian Adonis beats Uncle Elmer. Oh my God. Gross.
Yep.
Terry and Dory Funk beat, excuse me, Terry and
Hot Funk, yep.
Junkyard beat the Junkyard Dog and Tito Santana in a really long match that shouldn't have been that long.
No.
And then Hulk Hogan beats King Kong Bundy in a cage match, 11-minute cage match. The big blue jungle gym cage. Did anybody honestly really believe King Kong Bundy was going to be the world champion?
No.
No.
At
least they did it right. They, you know, they built heat to the match and had him attack him and lay him out and...
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was fairly well done. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It was.
It was what it was.
Not memorable, really, in any way. There's no no classic match of any kind that stands out.
No, not at
all.
The things that stand out are just the shit. Like, I remember George Steele eating a turnbuckle.
Right.
I remember Susan St. James saying, "Come on, George," two matches in a row. I remember Velvet McIntyre's foot being on the rope. I remember William the Refrigerator Perry's song. I fucking remember, and so does Dusty apparently, Elvira making fun of Ricky Steamboat's hanky, his fucking bandana on his knee.
One of the first videotapes of wrestling that my parents bought me was this, like, quote-unquote, best of WrestleManias. And they had one match from each of the first five WrestleManias.
Oh, I remember that tape. Yeah.
Yeah. And for WrestleMania 2, they had the Battle Royal. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know why they chose that match, but they put the Battle Royal on there. And
it was the most entertaining of everything. Yeah.
That was the tape where I fell in love with Piper, by the way. Just everything he did in that first WrestleMania main event was so awesome to me.
Yeah, it was.
So,
I also have to, since you mentioned it, I'll throw that out there. WrestleMania 1 got 2 votes for worst WrestleMania of all time, including one from Jeremy of StuntGranny.com, without getting into too big of a conversation about it. I agree, that thing sucked.
Oh, it's bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there was so much of the company riding on it. It's just kind of hard to vote it the worst, but
yeah,
it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't even trying to, like, finish all the right feuds.
No.
Junkyard Dog wrestled Greg Valentine, not Tito Santana. Fucking
exactly.
Tito Santana wrestled the Executioner in the opening match.
The last time Tito Santana won a match at WrestleMania.
It was booked like the first ECW pay-per-view, where they put all the good pay-per-view quality matches on the ECW Arena show right before it.
Yep.
The Dudley's turning, that should have been on the pay-per-view. Raven versus Sandman to culminate that feud, that should have been on the pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The Gangsters versus the Eliminators should have been on the pay-per-view.
Yep, for sure.
Instead, New Jack was the second most over babyface in the company, and he wasn't even on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's silly. And, as he would say later on, I can get over wearing flip-flops and a miniskirt. So.
Yeah.
Yep. ECW's big mistake. Okay. Well, that's WrestleMania 2. It's terrible.
We ended up talking about WrestleMania or ECW at the end. That should tell you how it
Well, that's some friendly audio for you.
Yep.
Yeah, let's see if we end up talking about Glow at the end of this one. WrestleMania 4 is our next pay-per-view. This was the first of two that were held in Atlantic City, New Jersey at Trump Plaza and Casino. There's something about this pay-per-view, though, that it keeps pulling me back in.
Yeah.
I watch it all the fucking time.
This is nowhere near the worst. I'm sorry.
No. I'd put this toward the bottom of our horrible list if we had to have it, so.
Well, it kicks off with a battle royal. The Bad News Brown wins. He turns on...
Hey, what a way to start the show with a battle royal!
You know, I said it earlier, some of the, whatever, you have to pay a certain price to win a trophy like that. Some of my trophies cost me upwards of $100.
I love it.
Yeah, I bet he got his per diem money. Fucking Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker.
Oh, Bob Uecker again.
All night long. That's part of it. It's not the wrestling that brings me back in, it's all the other shit.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Uecker.
Yeah, the matches are not memorable, really, at all.
No. I mean, okay, here's the first round of the tournament. Ted DiBiase beats Jim Duggan in a minute, or in 5 minutes. Andre interferes. Don Morocco beats Dino Bravo. Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
5 minutes. Randy Savage beats Butch Reed. 5 minutes. Not terrible, but it's not great. I still love Dusty. I love your line last night about Coco Beware. He couldn't even beat Butch Reed.
Well, it's true.
It's true. Greg, My Bloody Valentine, beats Ricky Steamboat in 9 minutes, stealing away our possibility of a Ricky Steamboat Randy Savage rematch, which fucking
that was Steamboat's
Bruce
goodbye. That was Steamboat's goodbye
yep.
to the WWF.
Yeah.
Heading
yep,
back to the NWA.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
So,
we can come back later as the dragon.
Yeah. Fire burning dragon with the fucking green scales all over him.
Uh-huh.
The one-man gang beats Bam Bam Bigelow 3 minutes by count out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, my God, 15 of the most painful minutes I've seen in this in a while. Rick Rude versus Jake Snake Roberts. I don't think these guys knew how to do 15 minutes with each other at
this
time.
No, not at all.
This is the case where they could have shaved time, and I wouldn't have cared one bit.
Yep,
yeah.
Definitely. Not very memorable matches, but then you get, you get to talk to Vanna White in the back, and then, Bob Uecker's interviewing people in the back, like the Islanders. They're not inviting you to my Outrigger dinner either, or whatever he says.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, he's interviewing Honky Tonk Man, interviewing Andre the Giant. I mean, that shit's classic.
Right.
Uh-huh.
There's interesting situations that we have to wait to see how they develop, you know? All kinds of stuff going on. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that. Okay, we take a break in the action from the tournament, according to ProWrestlingHistory.com here. Ultimate Warrior pins Hercules in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pushing and shoving in this match, and that was about it. And then try to leave it to the Ultimate Warrior to do one of those finishes where there's a this is one of them where there's a back suplex and a bridge. Is that right? Or am I thinking of Hercules and Haku from 5?
No, that was at 5.
That was 5.
Yeah, how did this match end?
With me hitting fast forward.
No shit, Sherlock. No kidding. Okay, so we get back to the
hang
tournament.
On.
Okay, we...
In the corner, Warrior hit 10 punch. Hercules made a comeback with an inverted atomic drop. He had a half Nelson suplex. Some Warrior who got his shoulder up first. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
They did the same finish for a Hercules match 2 times in a row.
Yep, wow, that's pathetic. I'm sorry, to hear half Nelson suplex from Hercules to Warrior, I actually cringed when you said that. That's dangerous. Okay, back to the tournament. We have Hulk Hogan double disqualification against Andre the Giant. There was your big singles rematch and went to a double DQ, so you know you're going to get a new champion no matter what.
Kind of clever. They put this in the exact middle of the card.
Yeah,
yep.
Really. So I don't know if they were...
Actually.
Yeah. I don't know if they were selling the videotapes separately or if you had to buy them as a package, But this would force you to buy them together.
With the Hulk Hogan pop-up head.
Yep. Oh, my God. Which is great because he didn't even win the fucking tournament, but he
no.
still gets the pop-up. Ooh, spoilers. Sorry. Didn't mean to ruin it. Ted DiBiase beats Don Morocco 5 minutes. Randy Savage beats Greg Valentine 6 minutes. Randy Savage is coming out in different clothing every time, so is Elizabeth.
matching outfits.
Yep.
In fact, what is it? Jesse? It's like, oh, are they color coordinated or what? No? Wait, it's Gorilla. He's like,
Gorilla.
Oh, are they color coordinated or what? Just like
yeah.
what? I said, are they color coordinated? Yep, looks like it. They sure are, Jess. my God. Brutus Beefcake beats Honky Tonk Man via disqualification. Intercontinental title match.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart gets his mullet cut.
Yep.
Only to go.
No! Come on!
Come on, baby! I'm sorry. Jimmy Hart is so full of energy. He was flailing around an awful lot underneath a guy who's holding a pair of scissors to his head. You know,
not just
your
a guy, Ed Leslie with scissors.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, the last thing I want is fucking Brutus Beefcake holding me down.
Toki
well,
McFace plate.
Yeah. The titanium steel.
Yep.
The blades are part of me. Okay, here's a great six-man tag. Bobby Heenan in possibly the greatest wrestling gear of all time.
Oh, yes.
Haku and Tama, the Islanders, beat the British Bulldogs and your friend Dusty Coco Beware. When Bobby Heenan pinned Coco, fucking Beware. Yep. That's so true. Yeah, and they don't have this on the DVD. This is a Coliseum video exclusive. Craig DeGeorge with his sore throat. Trying to track down what this package was coming to Bobby Heenan's locker room.
Oh, yes.
That was classic. Let's see. My God, Randy Savage beats the one-man gang in 4 minutes. One-man gang tries to use Slick Kane.
Cheating, yep.
Cheating, I guess.
And given all the buys in this tournament, too, that's the third round right there. Then we get Axe Smash of Demolition beating Strike Force, Tito Santana, and Rick Martel with the tag team belt. It was what it was, I guess.
It's okay.
It was 12 and a half minutes for Randy Savage to relax.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And to change outfits really quick because he had to come down to beat Ted DiBiase in 9.5 minutes to win the WWF title. Andre's out there with him. being accompanied by himself. He's got the big boy with him. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, and right before this, too, was the, she's here, she's been writing me all kind of letters. Some guy named Vance White.
Yeah.
Wow, they went a long way for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But
so fucking didn't care because he was a little bit liquored up.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He got his per diem money. yeah, and then, let's see, so Andre interferes. And, of course, they set this up at the Saturday night's main event, like, in the not-too-distant past, where Hogan ran down to save Savage.
Right.
So then, as soon as Andre the Giant touches Randy Savage, the crowd goes ballistic cheering for Hogan. Elizabeth runs down, runs to the back, gets Hogan, who's huffing and puffing all the way down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Interferes with a chair shot, so Savage can do the...
A lot of steps to get to the ring.
What's that?
A lot of steps to get to the ring.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about Atlantic City, the Trump Plaza, is that they had that, like, big, long walkway, but it was full of steps.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a big klutz like the Ultimate Warrior, you know, fucking... I'm not even going to lie. These shows are 21 and 22 years old or something like that, 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
I still watch these DVDs waiting to see if someone trips, falls down the stairs. If Ultimo Dragon can do it at Madison Square Garden,
right.
Fucking Hercules can do it at Atlantic City.
Yeah. Well, for me, that I was going to say, that was the first of the another of two non-headlining Hogan matches at WrestleMania, but yet he interjects himself in both of them.
Yeah.
So he becomes the focal point.
He interjects himself.
Yeah.
And then I think Dr. D. David Schultz interjected him every once in a while.
Yep.
Superstar Billy Graham interjected
him. Oh, God, he's like 315 pounds of Andro there or whatever.
Yeah. For sure. You guys both said, though, that this probably wouldn't be this far down on your list. Jordan, why is this not so far down on your list?
It's not as horribly offensive as some of the other ones we've talked about or talked about later. It's just long and boring. I could see it, why people would put it on here, especially if you had expectations for the tournament. But it's just, 4 hours then was way too long, and there were way too many meaningless matches, and the tournament really had no rhyme or reason. The whole thing set up for DiBiase to win, and then they just give it to Savage.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
I thought One Time Gang was going to win.
all your chore money, all that lawn mowing when you were six, went down the toilet. Dusty, why would you not put this so far down on your list?
I don't know. I guess I'm just a mark for tournaments. I keep going back to this one, This is one of the five that I keep going back to. It doesn't mean it's my favorite, but it definitely means it's not my least favorite,
Right. And I find myself, every now and then wanting to watch this, which for the others, I dread having to watch them sometimes. So.
When I bust out my DVD set and I comb through them, four always makes me go, okay.
Yep.
No.
Yep. I'm that exact same way, except for with
one
my
and
tape.
One and two, I always go, no.
No.
Yep.
But four makes me go,
That makes you go,
Yep, agreed. And I still say Bob Uecker is the reason that I keep coming back to this one. Plus, it's just, it being 4 hours, I'm not so offended by a four-hour pay-per-view from back then that I can't, I'll put it in the DVD player, watch it for an hour, and then go do something else for a while.
Right.
I'll come back, and there's Elizabeth Tits right there.
I would argue that a WrestleMania was in 4 hours. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of stuff to do on this show. So.
That's true.
Yep.
I just think that crowd was not willing to sit through 4 hours is what I was kind of getting at. Because that crowd knew shit about wrestling.
If this card was at the Madison Square Garden, it might have come off better.
Yeah, probably. There was no real... It was like the old WCW Saturday night sets where they would, it was like cheer and applause. Like, it was that, that kind of stuff. It's just there's no real heat for any of the matches. Nobody really, no comebacks get that big of a, The only guy they ever knew were Hogan and Andre, so...
Yeah, good point. Very good point. That's many reasons why this show is not so good. Okay,